It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena. Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Ata Maria and Manawatia Matariki. Happy Matariki. And what a great night we had Friday night in Queen Street and all over the city, everybody out celebrating. So first time we've ever had a public holiday celebrating an important occasion on the Māori calendar, and boy did Aucklanders take to it, you know, from everywhere from the North Shore out to South Auckland. People were out and about enjoying the day and celebrating the occasion.
It certainly was a very special weekend. It felt really, really nice around the whole city. We have got a couple of cool things to talk about. We're going to talk about reviving the golf project, also a little bit about some bike hubs that have been set up around the suburbs to help people get out and about. But there is a big vote happening this week on the zoning for density in Tāmaki Makaurau. This is an in-council vote. And part of this conversation comes back to this special character area. It's been very controversial. Some people are saying it's used as a bit of a smokescreen to basically protect wealthy suburbs. We're also hearing other people say, you know, it's important for protecting heritage buildings. Where is the conversation at in council at the moment? What is the special character area starting to look like in a practical sense?
Yeah, well, look, first on your initial comment, you're quite right. We've got some councillors that say, don't protect anything. We need the intensive housing. We need it in the walkable catchments. We've got it every other area of the city. Why are we protecting these particular suburbs? And at the other end of the spectrum, people are saying, hey, some of these old suburbs, they're part of our history. They tell the story of Auckland. They are special character areas. You don't want everything to look like high-rise apartments right across the city. You want to protect some of the character of your city. And, you know, but there's an element of truth in both arguments. The fundamental thing is, however, that the government has legislated for this, and they've said we want... In a whole range of areas, we want to have the 3x3s, three-storey houses, three to a fifth of an acre section. I've got more problems with some of that, actually, than I have with the special character areas, because I think you're going to have high density in areas that don't have public transport, that aren't suitable for it and aren't great designs. But the special character area is the one that has attracted attention. Now, what we've done as a council, our council officers, who are politically neutral, they've said, OK, if we don't follow the rules that the government has set, then the independent hearing commissioners that hear the submissions on this will overrule us. And if we disagree with them, it goes to the minister, and the minister has already said he's going to wind it right back. So I think it's probably a majority. We won't know until Thursday when the vote occurs. Mm-hmm. We'll go for a middle ground that tries to find some balance between protecting the best of our special character areas. So of the 21,000 houses in a special character area, we're proposing to preserve about 15,000, about three quarters, and they are the best of the areas.
That is still a lot of houses, though. That is a lot of single unit houses. And I mean, we have talked about this before. You know, there are some villas, there are some of these things that absolutely need to be protected. But we are also seeing a lot of places that have come under this that really are just your ratty old villas that probably need to be moved on now.
We're trying, you know, our officers have been out there trying to weed out the areas that don't fit the definition. But look, when you say there's a lot of houses, 15,000, that's about 3.5% of all the houses in Auckland. And, you know, probably the thing that annoys me about what Labor and National have done in Parliament is they've created the impression that we are short of building sites for houses. And the truth is, under the Auckland Unitary Plan, we've got enough building sites to last at least 40 years. There's nearly 900,000 building sites. And some have argued that actually we've got enough building sites to last close to a century.
But it does come back to this conversation about where people want to live as well. You know, there's a big argument to be had that lots of people want to live in these inner suburbs that are the ones that are coming under special character protection predominantly, and that should maybe be made more accessible through the ability to have more high-rise housing there. Are we going to be seeing, after this vote, do you think, still big swathes of these inner suburbs just single density housing, or what are we expecting to see this week, do you think?
Well, I'm expecting to see, but I may be wrong, there's a lot of different individual opinions around the council table on it, but I'm expecting to see us follow the rules, which says that you can create a qualifying matter for an area of special character, but you have to have strong evidence to back it up. It can't just be, we nominated that as a special character area. So we've got to follow the rules that the government has set, but at the same time we want to preserve a bit of the city's history. But overwhelmingly you're seeing intensification right across the city, and we're not against intensification. I'm absolutely in favour of intensification, but I want it to be high quality. Now, the areas of the city that are special character that were likely to be protected are not the areas where you're going to see affordable housing going in, because they're high value properties, so they're going to be priced way beyond a first home buyer. And as I say, it is a relatively small percentage of the city, 3%. That's what the level of protection would be. But, when I go to another city, let's use another example, Australia. I go to Melbourne and I want to look around Melbourne. I don't want to see just, hectare upon hectare of high-density housing. I want to see what makes that city what it is. I want to see something of its character and where it's come from.
But isn't it people that make a city what it is? And people have to live somewhere, and they probably want to live in the central city so they can get to work, and they can go to the pub, and they can do the things that make their lives interesting.
Let me repeat. We're talking about 3%. So 97% is available for intensification, and 3% isn't. So it's going to have a minor impact on housing availability. I mean, we're building more houses than ever before in this city's history. You can see it all over the city. We are dealing with the problem of housing shortage, and that's important, and people are important, but so too is having a city that has a bit of character, rather than a city that is uniformly of one nature. So I think there's a balance to be found there, and I hope we find that balance.
Well, I'm sure we'll come back to this one next week when we hear a bit more from the vote.
Yeah, but I'll be able to tell you what the result is at that point.
Exactly. Let's talk about the Gulf project. There is one underway to revive the Gulf. This has been a long time in the making, or a long time in the conversation about the Hauraki Gulf. What is going to be happening as part of this project?
Well, it's trying to reverse the damage that's been done for, 50 or 60 years. We have had commercial trawling that has decimated our mussel beds, the kutai beds is the Maori term for it. And the Revive Our Gulf project is a project that plans to reseed the Hauraki Gulf with mussels. So far, over 222 tonnes of mussels have been placed in test beds everywhere from Maharangi down to Okahu Bay and east of Waiheke. It's a collaboration between a group called the Mussel Reef Restoration Trust, which is a New Zealand charity, Nature Conservancy, which is a global environmental organisation, and the University of Auckland. And the funders include Auckland Council, the Hauraki Gulf Forum, and the Auckland Foundation. And, what we're trying to do is to create a sustainable source of kaimoana for people into the future. But mussels also, of course, they filter the water, they provide a habitat and food for other marine life, so, they're a major source of food for snapper and other fish. So this is a really great project that is seeing, probably on the biggest scale anywhere around the world, that is seeing us trying to recreate those shellfish beds. And, of course, you need to stop the commercial trawling at the same time that was so damaging.
What's the time frames, or the sort of aspirational time frames, looking like for some of the goals for this project?
Well, as I say, well over 200 tonnes have already been placed in test beds, and we've granted a multi-year consent to allow mussel reef restoration in the Gulf for over the next 35 years. So it will be done progressively, but at a significant scale. That's a heck of a lot of mussels. And, we also know that there's a lot of recreational shellfish gatherers that will want to take advantage of that, and we want them to do it in a sustainable way. So, there are limitations on the shellfish that you can take, and we ask people not to be greedy, and we expect the fisheries inspectors to be really tough on where people are breaking the rules. You can have your boat confiscated, your outboard confiscated, your boat trailer and even your car confiscated. So this, you know, this is for fish and for shellfish. You need to make sure that those people who are greedy, that only think of themselves and not the rest of their community, have a huge disincentive from raiding the beds, and we don't want to go back to the days of commercial trawling for mussels and scallops that's been so damaging.
Well, let's just very briefly talk about the Auckland Bike Burbs, because this is a cool initiative that's popped up around Tamaki Makaurau to encourage people into biking, particularly for suburbs that have new bike paths but maybe don't necessarily have a bike culture there yet. What is a bike burb and how can people access them?
Yeah, well, really quite interesting, and probably not many people know about it yet, but they're basically community-run groups, which we call bike burbs. They are independent, but they come under a broad umbrella of Bike Auckland. And what they're all about is encouraging people to cycle and helping them to do that safely. So what do? They encourage guided rides around local areas to help build confidence in people, and volunteers provide safety advice. They offer bike maintenance, repairs and safety checks for quite low prices or just a donation. But it's really trying to create a culture where people do feel confident to get onto a bike and to bike again, including kids going to school. And, you know, look, it's having some impact. The number of people cycling is increasing. It's was up last year, I think, by about 3%, and up to 28% of Aucklanders now do some cycling, and 65% of Aucklanders support our position on council that we create connected cycleways and shared paths as part of creating a world-class city. And I think that's really good, and in some ways it's just going back to the future. People did cycle a lot more in the past, particularly kids, and now we need to do that again. One, it helps ease congestion, and two, it's obviously emission-free, so it's not adding to our greenhouse gas problem and climate change.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a good week.
Always a pleasure. Yep, it's unfortunately not a short week. We've got to do the full work week this
we
week.
Do.
But anyway, it's going to be hard.
We
okay,
will. Ka
kite.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. Some